For the sermon this morning, I want to read from Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to be reading verses 10 through 12. It's on page 195 in your pew Bible if you'd like to read along with me. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. May the Lord bless to our understanding this reading and hearing of this most holy word. So we did dodge a bullet. Yeah, this hurricane they call Francis was not nearly as bad here as they... Florence. This hurricane called Florence was not nearly as bad here as they told us it might be earlier in the week. We were spared, and we give thanks and praise to God for that deliverance. But not everybody, as we have heard, has been delivered. And so we continue to pray for God's protection and blessing and deliverance and strength for those whose lives have been so brutally disrupted. But we also pray that God will open our eyes to see how we can use the resources we have been given to help in the recovery effort. Over the next days and weeks, there will be all kinds of opportunities to join in the effort in those parts of the country that have been so brutally devastated. And I invite and encourage all of you to find ways to be the hands and feet of Christ Jesus our Lord. Of course, one of the big questions that always comes up in times like these is why? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do some people get hit so hard and other people don't? Why were we spared, but folks down in the Carolinas were not? Well, one of the ways the Bible tries to get at that dilemma is through a concept called spiritual warfare. Every day, life presents us with problems, struggles, uncertainties, even tragedies that often don't make any sense at all. And the Apostle Paul was very aware of that when he wrote his letter to the Ephesians. After years and years of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul was thrown into prison. And members of the first century church were experiencing troubles and difficulties that weren't making any sense. And so Paul talks about this idea of spiritual warfare. Now, there are some among us who are more than aware of the damage and destruction that is caused by physical warfare. And while there the immediate effects of spiritual warfare may not be quite as apparent, the damage and destruction that is caused is just as real. So for the next few minutes, we're going to reflect on some things we can keep in mind as we think about the Apostle Paul's idea of spiritual warfare. Before we get into it, though, let's take a moment and pray together. Let's pray. God Almighty, there are so many things that happen in our lives, the lives of our families, the lives of our friends and neighbors and coworkers and people we don't even know that really just don't make any sense at all. We are so limited, Lord, in our understanding, in our capabilities, and in all of your divine and holy ways. And yet you have called us into partnership with you. You have called us to be your holy people. You have called us to join you in the work of salvation and restoration of this place we call planet Earth. So as we think about things that are beyond our capability to understand, Lord, that you will open the eyes of our hearts so that we can see a little bit more clearly, hear with a little bit more certainty, and understand a little bit more fully just how awesome you truly are. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we think about this idea of spiritual warfare that the Apostle Paul talks about, one of the first things that we can keep in mind is that the writers of the Bible took for granted that there is a realm beyond this world that we can see and touch and taste and smell and feel. And so Paul says, our struggle is against an enemy that is not flesh and blood. In the Bible, there are all kinds of stories about all kinds of incidences that just defy natural explanation. There are stories in the Bible about appearances and disappearances of mysterious beings. There are accounts in the Bible about bread and water just kind of appearing in the desert. There are even stories in the Bible about dead people being brought back to life. Now, we live in a very scientific, technological age that is extremely skeptical of the existence of anything that is supernatural. Yet the writers of the Bible just took for granted that that realm is real. And so Paul talks about spiritual warfare. He talks about enemies that are not blood and flesh. He talks about rulers and authorities and cosmic powers and spiritual beings in heavenly places. In his book, Angels, God's Secret Agents, the Reverend Dr. Billy Graham tells a story about S.W. Mitchell. Dr. Mitchell was a celebrated neurologist in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. One evening, he had gone to bed after a very tiring day at work. Suddenly, a knock at the door woke him up. It was a little girl who was poorly dressed in a very light gray jacket. She was extremely upset. She told him that her mother was very sick and she begged him to come with her. It was very late. It was bitterly cold and snowing. It was a harsh winter night. He was bone tired. But he got dressed and went with her anyway. He found the mother extremely ill. He arranged for her medical care, and then he complimented her on the intelligence and the persistence of her daughter. The woman looked at him very strangely, and then she said, "My daughter died last month. Her coat and shoes are still in the closet there." Dr. Mitchell walked to the closet, opened the door, and there was the same light gray jacket that had been worn by the girl who had brought him there. It was dry and it was warm. It could not have possibly been out on that winter night. the writers of the Bible just take for granted that there is a realm beyond anything that can be explained logically or scientifically. If you've never experienced anything like that, it's really difficult to get your brain around, but from the perspective of the Bible, it is very real. And one of the most important things that we need to remember is that while most all supernatural forces are directly in line with God and with God's holy and good purpose, there are spiritual forces that are violently opposed to God. And so that brings us to a second thing we can remember as we think about Paul's idea of spiritual warfare, and that is that it is of a spiritual nature. You cannot address it with physical means. And so Paul advises us to put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. I once heard about this guy named Ron, who was serving as a volunteer firefighter in his community. And he was talking about how important it is to the survival of firefighters that they always wear all of their protective equipment. He said that it was so important that many firefighters get into the habit of constantly reminding each other to wear all of their gear. And he said that even those pointless reminders, those seemingly pointless reminders, have saved thousands of lives time and time again. He gave one instance when one evening he and another firefighter were called out to fight a car fire. It was not this huge four-alarm building blaze. It was just a small car that happened to be on fire. And while it was very tempting not to, both firefighters made each other put on all of their protective equipment. So they were standing there spraying the standard water foam mixture on the engine, trying to douse the car fire. Everything was going pretty normally, when all of a sudden, without warning, the car exploded and flaming debris went everywhere and some of it hit the firefighters full in the face. They were unharmed, but had they not been wearing their protective face gear or any other protective equipment, the results would have been much different. And so he went on to draw a parallel between firefighting and everyday living. We go out into the world that throws flaming debris at us all the time. And all we have to do is put on the armor of God. But many times we get complacent, we get lazy, we get busy, and we just don't do it. And then he said, you know, if I go fight a fire without all of my protective equipment on, eventually I am going to get severely injured. God has given us divine protection if we just put it on. And so a third thing that we can keep in mind as we think about this concept of spiritual warfare that the Apostle Paul talks about, and that is, don't give up. Don't ever give up. No matter, you know, there are times, there are always times in life when it seems like we're losing and that there's just no reason to keep going. At times like that, we can remember to hang in there, to keep going. As the Apostle Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of God's strength. Several years ago, there was a gripping story in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Terry Stout was working as the business manager at the Emory University Hospital. He was running late for work one morning, but he decided to drive past his normal parking spot and drive up to the top deck of the parking garage because he wanted to just look up at the sky and enjoy the morning for a couple of moments before he went to work. When he got out of his car, he noticed a young woman standing on a beam that was sticking out from the top floor of the parking deck. There were about 2 inches between her and the pavement 9 floors below. He quietly sat down his case. He approached her and very quietly asked if he could help. She told him that she wanted to be with Jesus. She told him she was confused. She talked about some really horrible sins she had committed, and she said that she could never do anything right. Well, he listened. Then he talked. He talked about God's love and faithfulness and about how God could restore her if she would just put her trust in God. As they talked together, a crowd began to form around them. He took off a pin that he was wearing on the lapel of his jacket, and he offered it to her. It had the simple words, "There's hope." He offered it as his gift to her. She told him about how much Jesus wanted to be with her and help her through this time, and he offered to pray with her if she would just come back onto the safety of the parking deck. Well, slowly and hesitantly, she climbed back over the concrete barricade. The crowd wanted to swarm around her, but Terry kind of waved them back, and true to his word, he had everybody kneel down, and he prayed. He prayed for her safety, her deliverance, and the woman survived. And for quite some time, she and Terry both went everywhere with their little lapel pins that said, "There's hope." Life is a constant struggle. And this whole concept of spiritual warfare the Bible talks about serves to remind us that things do go wrong. Sometimes they go terribly and tragically wrong, and there's not anything anybody can do about it except to be strong in the Lord, to put on the whole armor of God and stand firm, remembering that there is always hope. The message that the Apostle Paul wants us to know is that no matter how bad things may seem to get, we can be strong in the Lord. The Bible's great and glorious promise is that even though skirmishes between good and evil still break out all around us, Christ Jesus the Lord has won the victory. And we can be strong in His name. We can fight the powers and principalities of this present darkness in His name. We are God's people. We can stand firm in the face of whatever may come against us. As we wrap up this morning, I invite you, we're gonna affirm what we believe together with our Apostles' Creed. Now, I know that most everybody probably knows it, but if you don't know it, it's in the front of the Blue Presbyterian Hymn Book on page number 14. And I see that it's also going to be on our screen here this morning. So we're going to stand and we're going to say together what we believe with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.